theme for this month is rescue. Great job, Steve, as always. I have literally, since we've talked about this, been immersed in Luke 15. And if you're not able to quite identify, let's kick this up just a touch. If you're not able to quite identify what Steve presented here, that is Daddy welcoming the prodigal home. And you look at that face and you see what's... Well, we're going to touch on that this morning. See, one of the things that frustrates me, and I wouldn't say that... I would say that many here have a better understanding, but there's still times where the church operates like a country club. That drives me crazy. A lot of you guys understand the search and rescue. But so in hearing this message this morning and in hearing what's presented this month, recognize that I encourage you. I say, keep on. For those of you that might be hearing this perspective for the first time and have been somewhat comfortable in the country club, I say, wake up. Wake up. We often lose sight of the fact that this faith walk can be messy, at least from what I see scripturally. That although our preference is often that of a country club, we're really to be more search and rescue. Let me ask you guys a question, and feel free to call out. You guys can speak up. It'll help keep you awake. Why did Jesus come? Testify of the truth. Why did Jesus come? For our salvation. Why did Jesus come? I'm sorry, Joe? Luke 19:10 says what? For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. So much. Yep, so much. But my focus this morning is going to be that Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. And what was lost, what is lost, is important to Him. It's incredibly important. Moms, dads, aunts, uncles, ever lost a kid in a store? Ever lost a kid in a store? What do you do when that kid is lost in the store? You do what? You freak out? You freak out. Do you involve everybody possible to help you find that child? Are you announcing it over the PA system? Are you doing whatever is necessary to find that kid? How much more your Heavenly Father? How much more? To seek and save that which was lost. Let's look at, take your time. I know that every one of you have brought a Bible, you brought an Android, you brought an iPhone, you brought an iPad. Somewhere you have scripture on you. Because not one of you warriors would ever want to travel without a sword. Because that gets dangerous. Just being silly, but it gives you guys time to turn. To Luke 15. Did I mention that? You're all waiting for that, aren't you? I figured Hal already knew. We're going to read through this a couple of times. We're going to kind of address it and look through it, okay? Is that all right? Can we read a little bit of scripture? Can we read a chapter perhaps together? Will that be okay? Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners... Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? I did some little bit of research on Eastern sheep herding versus Western sheep herding, their perspectives, their attitudes, and who he was speaking to here. They clearly understood. That shepherd ate, drank, lived with those sheep. Everything he did was with those sheep. He was never apart from those sheep. But he understood the ignorance of the sheep. He clearly understood. And these people, as Christ is speaking to them, clearly understands what he's saying. That there is a love and a care for these sheep. The shepherd really loves them and really cares for them, watches over them. But they're so dumb that they can just wander off. And one of the things I had often been taught, and I had difficulty finding it, was that the legs would be broken and the sheep would be put over the shepherd's neck. And that would help teach the sheep to stay by. But I couldn't find that. What I kept continuing to find was the shepherd would carry the sheep back because the sheep was weary and was tired from being lost. The shepherd cared. The shepherd desired to bring this one home. That gives me a whole different perspective of the shepherd. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people, righteous persons who do not need to repent. There's a party in heaven for the lost, for when they come home, for when they've been found. The parable of the lost coin. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Times have been tight in the Miller household. Not as tight as it is for some. Some are living rough. But you know when you're going into the change jar to get a little bit of Burger King, it's getting close. Anybody been there? Anybody been deeper? Anybody been higher? In all things, praise you, Lord. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, what? What is Christ saying here? What? Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Have you found yourself rejoicing lately as you're searching and rescuing? Have you found yourself rejoicing lately with the Father as you're out searching and rescuing? Have you been looking for the sheep? Have you been looking for the coin? And it's so interesting to continue to see throughout Luke 15 what happens when the lost has been found. Because oftentimes we as a church, we don't celebrate that way. We find them. We find the lost. And we bring them in. And we're a whole lot more like the older brother that says, "We're not real keen on giving you the robe and the ring just yet until you earn it." I don't know that I'm hearing that, folks. I'm seeing a party happening here when the lost has been found. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, hopped on his scoot, and he squandered his wealth. Squandered it away in wild living. Partying like there was no tomorrow. Nothing but trouble with this guy. Anybody been there? Come on. Really? Not long after that, After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. In the Jewish culture, don't get no lower. But wait, there's more. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. They wouldn't even give him pig food. Ever been there? When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? How many of you have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, somebody was looking for him, you think? Because pay attention to this next line. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." I heard an interesting note on this last night from one of the pastor that had stopped in for Sammy's concert. One of the things he said was, in this culture, with this situation, with the son coming back, there was actually a strong chance that the villagers would try to kill the son to keep him from the father because of what the son had done, because of the trouble the son had caused. And the father actually ran out, not just because he was happy, but to also offer his love and his protection. It's interesting to think about. He ran out to him. The father ran out to him and hugged and kissed him. Are we representing that to those that are lost? Is that what we are describing as the gospel? Is that what we're showing as this hope that we come here on Sunday mornings, that we live our lives by? Is that what we're sharing? Because that's attractive. That's pretty amazing to think about. The father ran to the son. Now, the son had been doing great things, living exactly the way he was supposed to be, never doing it. No, wait, he spent all his money. He was living with pigs. And daddy ran after him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, what? "Quick, put this guy in a box. He's nothing but trouble. We'll teach him the right things to do and the right way to do things. And eventually he'll be better and eventually..." No, wait. "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, like you, like me." Because it tells me, Scripture tells me, that while we were dead in our sins, Christ died for us. "My son, this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, a number of folks in the church were out in the field. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come! Your brother has come!" he replied. "And your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The oldest brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." My son, the father said, "you're always with me. Always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, lost and is found." What are you looking for, church? Better yet, who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Christ says we should be looking. He says we should be looking, that we should be involved. We should be in relationship with those who are lost. We often hear about the kingdom of God is about relationships. Now, those of you that may have just come in, I'm going to encourage you to find strength in the Savior. But those of you that have been sitting on your backsides here for a while, I'm going to encourage you to get out and go and seek. Are you getting it? Who are you searching for? Where are you at that is bringing the love of Christ, the hope of the Father? Have you ever really thought about commands like the ones Christ states that we're to love our enemies, that we're to do good to them that treat us with evil intentions? See, oftentimes Jesus contradicted the religious leaders of his day. They were saying one thing, but then along would come Jesus and challenge them to go beyond their self-imposed limitations. These guys were legitimately concerned for one they felt might be a rabbi and that he would soil himself amongst the sinners. Country club versus search and rescue. The church of today oftentimes has seemed to retreat to the thinking that it is contradictory to go after or associate ourselves with those who are not like us. Yet Christ was just the opposite. He was so into saving the lost that he was accused of hanging with the wrong crowd. Are you? Have you been? What they said, Luke 15:2. "And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" The Pharisees of yesterday and the Pharisees of today share the same common thought process. The church is no place for sinners. I've seen it practiced. The church is no place for sinners. But on the contrary, the church, in order to change lives, must be a hospital that seeks those who need healing. Notice the response of Jesus to their criticism. Look at Luke 15:3-7. What's he say? He told them the parable. Suppose if one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. What does he say? What does the shepherd do? Come on, I got to keep you guys awake. What does the shepherd do?
He leaves the rest and searches for the lost.
Thank you, Boomer. He goes and he seeks. He seeks and saves the lost. Isaiah 53:6 uses this image to describe the waywardness that we often find ourselves in and or the loss that we're seeking, the folks that we're looking for. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Admit it or not, there's a little sheep in all of us, and a lot of sheep in most of us. We go our own way. We do our own thing. We follow our own desires until one day we discover that we're far away from God. We have no clear idea how we got into such a fix, and we don't know how to find our way back to God. A lot of the folks that you're finding yourselves interacting with as you're building these relationships, as you're reaching out, and if you're not, as you're going to when you decide, are just lost sheep. See, we often find ourselves ready to challenge the world. We hear about politics that might upset us. We hear about situations going on and people groups and choices and things being made. And we're ready to fight. And God says, go find them. They're just dumb sheep. And that's a more heartfelt, loving way to look at this. I know it even almost sounds harsh to say they're not, but they're just dumb sheep. Go find them. Do we realize that the lost are truly lost? The Bible uses sobering images to describe their plight. They're blind. No offense, Kim, I love you dearly. Deaf. Condemned. Captured. Led astray. Imprisoned. Helpless. And spiritually dead. I know modern medicine is making great strides, but bottom line, can the blind see? They're dead and they think they're alive. There's a lot of dead folk walking around. They're certain they're alive. They're captive. And you see it. You see it as you find yourselves out seeking the lost. They're captive. They are captive, and you know it. As a result of what the Holy Spirit has done from dwelling in you, you know they're not free. They're helpless, but they think they can do anything. They're without understanding and think they know everything. They're bound for hell and think they're going to heaven. But the lost sheep will not be easily found. The shepherd leaves his flock and goes after the lost sheep until he finds it. You get that? Shepherd goes after his lost sheep until he's a little tired and wants to head home, take a nap, because he spent a good part of the day out at a church picnic. And it's just wiped out. Yeah, tomorrow. No, the shepherd goes after until he finds it. This is speaking to me too, because I prefer the nap. Remember, he doesn't know where the sheep might be. He has no idea if the sheep went north, south, east, or west. So he sets out on a long journey that may take hours or days. For some of you on bikes, that might sound like fun. But it's important until he finds it. And he doesn't know if he'll even find the sheep. He only knows he must go. If he does not go, the sheep will not be found. He must go because you have to go where the sheep are. They won't come to you. You mean if I just advertise that there's a church on the corner of Lincoln and Galena and Aurora, I put some really snazzy signs up, maybe even some neon arrows, they won't come in? Maybe. But more than likely, you're going to need to go. Might need to build a kayak. Might need to ride a motorcycle. Might need to be into reaching out to kids. You might enjoy music. You need to go. You might plow parking lots. Who knows who you run into then? You might need to go. Anyone here lately rode past McCarty Park and thought, it's getting a little suspect again? Things are getting a little rough. Go! Go. Reach. Bring the sheep home. God is diligent in his effort to reach the lost. It's seen in the sheep, seen in the coin. It's realized in the son coming home. He wants us to search and rescue. We're Christians. We call ourselves, those of you that have acknowledged Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a Christian. And that means you are to be like who? God doesn't rest on his laurels, and he's got them. God is seeking. He's like that dad, looking out, just waiting for the son to come home. He's concerned about every one of his sheep. He doesn't rest until the lost is found. And God is willing to comfort that lost soul. And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I've found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Have you grown comfortable settling in here, perhaps on a Sunday morning, fulfilling your duty? You've made God happy because you showed up here. Let me ask you, who are you looking for? Do you have the heart of the Father? Do you have the heart of the Father? Are you seeking to save that which is lost? Are you looking? I pray you're getting it. And I pray that this month you'll begin to acknowledge and begin to realize and maybe wake up out of your slumber and find yourself involved in this messy business we call the gospel, this messy situation where we're out highways and byways. We're going to seek and to save the lost, to be like Christ. Consider it. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, help us to understand. Help us to see with your eyes, to know with your wisdom, to understand with your heart. And as we encounter, and as we go, and as we find ourselves in situations, that we share the joy when the lost has been found. That we share the love the Father has for those that are lost. May we do that, Lord. May we do that in your grace and in your mercy. It's in you, it's in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, that we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.